Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful sight to see. It is great to be together this morning. And if you're visiting, we are the Garden State Church, made up of Northwest counties and Northeast counties, from the Hudson River all the way to the Poconos and every place in between. I am just super excited. You know, some of you know and may not know, Sari and I just returned from a sabbatical, 3 months. Thank you, Lord, elders, everybody who made that choice. But you know, when we come together like this, this is impossible without the help behind the scenes. Let's give it up for our AV team, Larney, Floyd, and our usher team from the West and the East, our children's ministry. Let's give it up for them. And if you're streaming, because we're streaming now, we're not Zooming anymore. Thank you, Larney. Good morning to you. You know, it's funny, people come up to me and say, Russ, you look relaxed. And I'm like, I hope it lasts to the end of the month, at least. But it's really been great. You know, as a church, we had been studying Behold the Savior, that our great teaching ministry put together. And those sermons were amazing. If you missed any of them, you can go to nyccoc.net under sermons if you want to listen to them. And it's just amazing how we've been focusing on Jesus, because isn't he why we do what we do? I mean, Christianity is all about Jesus. And the fact that we believe a man named Jesus lived this earth. He came, he prepared the way in giving us a relationship with God, and then he was killed and crucified on the cross. And Christianity is all about the fact that we as Christians believe he came back to life. That is what it's all about. That this guy named Jesus died and came back to life. And because of him, we live and we do what we do. You know, in February of 1980, President Jimmy Carter issued a presidential proclamation declaring the week of March 8th as National Women's Week. And as Shauna so eloquently shared, you know, this has been celebrated as Women's History Month. And libraries, schools, community organizations all focus their attention and observe the leaders, women leaders that have struggled for equality and unity. And you learn about women like Susan B. Anthony and Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Alice Paul. And, you know, it made me think about the women in my life, right? You know, I'm so amazed to still have both of my grandmas, Anna and Odessa, and my mom on the right, and my amazing, gorgeous mother-in-law, Sari's mom. We call her Mother Teresa. And then obviously the one and only Sari. And let me tell you, every time I say Sari, my phone goes off. There it is again. I know Sari. But I want to say to the men in this room, appreciate the women in your life. The moms, the aunties, the sisters, the cousins. Give them a call. Let them know what you appreciate about them. They they be encouraged.
So
there's a quote from a movie. Every man dies, but not every man lives. Some of you guys have heard that quote from the movie Braveheart, right? You know, it's a similar line in a song called Moment for Life by Nicki Minaj and Drake. I know. I'm woke. It's not a very good song. It's got some issues. But it's a great quote. And it tells us that we can be physically alive, but not really living. Which is something that you actually see in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 17, right? Listen to what the Bible says. This is what the Lord says: a curse is placed on those who trust other people, who depend on humans for strength, who have stopped trusting the Lord. They are like a bush in a desert that grows in a land where no one lives, a hot and dry land with bad soil. They don't know about the good things God can give, but the person who trusts in the Lord will be blessed. The Lord will show him that he can be trusted. He will be strong like a tree planted near water that sends its roots by a stream. It is not afraid when the days are hot. Its leaves are always green. It does not worry in a year where no rain comes. It always produces fruit. You know, this passage paints a picture of two ways that we can live our lives. One is empty and dry, while the other is lush, is thriving. And you know, what's at the root of these two very different experiences? And I'm going to tell you, one is preoccupied with people, while the other is deeply rooted in God. You know, God wants to give us satisfying lives that are full of meaning, that are full of purpose. And you know, when you rely on God, the Bible says you are strong, that you're not easily shaken, that you're able to enjoy life even when things are hard. However, when you replace God with people, other people, or this person, yourself, we can live lonely, empty lives, never fully seeing the good things that God can give. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are people more powerful than Jesus in your life? Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at a passage. And in light of Women's History Month, we're going to look at two very courageous women. And we're going to learn from them this morning. Can we do that? All right. Luke 24, verse 1. But very, very early in the on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them. Clothed in dazzling robes, the women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here, He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Then they remembered that what he had said. Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell the 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. You know, the women in this passage here went to find Jesus in a tomb, thinking that he was dead. But he wasn't there. He was just as alive as they were. And when they realized this, it changed their lives forever. They were no longer afraid. They were no longer sad. They were excited. And they rushed out and they told everyone about Jesus. You know, just like these women, you and I need to remember this fact. Jesus is alive. Can we say that together? Jesus is alive. One more time. Jesus is alive. Right now, in our present lives, he's alive. See, one of the reasons we can't see, understand, or connect with Jesus and his plans for us is that we think people. We think about people. We think about parents, bosses, political figures, professors, friends. And sometimes we think that they're more powerful than Jesus. And we live our lives though Jesus is dead, but in truth, he's resurrected. See, when we see Jesus as living, it transforms our minds. It transforms our hearts. It transforms our bodies and our souls. When we see Jesus as alive, we begin to truly live differently. Has this ever happened to you? You're on a plane and you pray while you're on the plane that you get to where you need to get to safely, no harm, no disaster. Now, when that happens, how do you feel? Good. We made it. You know, I've become more aware of myself. I used to think about the plane and the drive and pray and all of that. And then it happens, and you know, you look around. And then you got a few grateful people, and they start. And you look at them. Yeah, that's cute. I used to not clap because what was really going on, I don't want you looking at me strange. I don't want you thinking I'm, you know, special. And I thought about that. And so, you know, we've been flying a lot and I've been clapping. God answered my prayer. Pilot, he did a good job. He was actually a part of the prayer. You know, I'm sure you have your own examples of ways that you've let people's opinion direct your life. Whether they were a little silly thing like clapping when you have a safe landing, or more significant, in ways of, you know, deciding who you date, what career path you go down. You know, we do stuff like this where we don't clap, or we don't speak up, or we don't turn away because people can have power over us because of what we think about what they think about us. And then we got the other side, because then there's the people right now in the crowd like, nah. I do what I want. Right? And now you become the person that's uninfluenced, unaffected by everything else, because you go your way. It's yourself that you're still following. And you can't get away with it. That's why our faith in Jesus is the best antidote to our preoccupation with people. If we believe that Jesus is with us, that Jesus is alive, as the people that are sitting around you right now, and even more, that he's powerful than they are, this has the power to help us overcome this concern. So let's look at two brave souls. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. And I think it's really funny how the Spirit is working, because when Anna came up and said, yeah, we're going to talk about Mary and Martha, I was like, oh, that's my scripture. But it's all good. We're going to look at it a little differently. Luke 7, verse 36. It says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who had lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there, notice, unannounced or uninvited, came there. Lost my place. Okay, came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Verse 39. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, notice he said to himself, he did not say it out loud, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, i.e., Jesus knows what you're thinking. Be careful. Simon, I have something to tell you. And I imagine Simon kind of smiling. Yeah, what's up, Lord? Or, you know, Jesus, talk to me. He said, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Verse 43, Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly. And now, again, you got to picture this. He's standing there. And he turns to the woman. So Simon's kind of in the back, and Jesus turns to the woman. And listen to what he says to Simon. He's now, you know, you could say Jesus was a little rude. You know, he wasn't looking at him. He's turning to the woman, and he says to Simon, do you see this woman? Do you see this woman? I came to your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say amongst themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Turn to Luke chapter 10. You know, some believe that that woman was Mary Magdalene. Okay, and one, if you saw the movie The Chosen, yes, I am I'm a little addicted to The Chosen. I've joined the fan club. It's bringing the Bible to life, so whatever. But she was the one that he saved. Now, Luke 10, verse 38. Jesus continued from there toward Jerusalem and came to another village. Martha, a resident of that village, welcomed Jesus into her home. Her sister Mary went and sat at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. Meanwhile, Martha was anxious about all the hospitality arrangements. Martha, and this is the voice version, so that's why I'm getting a little previews here. Martha says, Lord, why don't you care? Question Jesus' care. That my sister is leaving me to do all the work by myself. Tell her to get over here and help me out. Jesus says, oh, Martha, Martha, you are so anxious and concerned about a million details, but really only one thing matters. Mary has chosen that one thing, and I won't take it away from her. You know, in both of these stories, these women had to break through some fears and insecurities. What people think about them. Or what they thought about themselves. And the thing that got them through was that they focused on Jesus. They listened attentively to his words and believed what he was saying and what he said to them. One received forgiveness of her sins. The other remained steady while being judged and reacted to angrily by her sister in front of the guest. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't like being embarrassed in front of people. Now, then there's this other part of me that just don't care. I remember we went to San Diego to speak to the church in 2007. And I was fired up and I decided I was gonna jump onto the stage. And it was like, from New Jersey, Russ Murdoch. And I took off. And I got to the edge and fell back. Now, I could have been humiliated, just went over and got to the steps. But I said, no. I backed back up and went this time and got too forward and fell. So they ain't looking at the bottom of my shoes. I pick up my stuff, and I slide over there, and I said, we fall, but we get back up. Good morning, church. You know, sometimes We can get so preoccupied with people that we forget who's with us. And you know, when you get preoccupied with people, you end up focusing on one specific person, and that's yourself. I'm going to read this article that Dove Soap did a worldwide survey. This is true. And what they did is they set up signs at entrances of buildings around the globe. Each location had one door marked average, and the other was marked beautiful. Across the board, not 96% of the women went through the average door, and only 4% went through the beautiful door. Some women stood there and they kind of pondered and they thought, and they were a little confused. You know, it's like, which way do I go? Which way do I go? But for the most part, they chose average. The reasons varied. Many felt that it seemed like vanity to admit to themselves that they were beautiful, while others genuinely believed themselves unworthy of walking through the beautiful door. One woman from Shanghai who picked the average door said, "Beautiful to me is too far out of reach." So Dove got all of the data, and it, again, you can read all of it, you know, at some other time as an article. But I believe Dove was onto something, because all women are intrinsically beautiful. Amen? But sadly, most hesitate to embrace their true inner worth, either because they don't believe it, or the fear of appearing vain. You know, as children of God, as disciples of Christ, we are indeed intrinsically beautiful. And see, feeling valued is a choice that you and I, who are in Christ, must understand. Because when you look at that cross, that should tell you how much your God loves you. When you look at that cross, you understand you are more valuable than you could ever imagine. God wants us to embrace our beauty. Own it. Know it. Walk through the beautiful door. And you know, it's not vain to acknowledge the value that God attributes to you and I. The fact is, it's just the truth. And it's liberating. But it's very sad to understand, you know, through this study, part of what Dove was trying to do was unlock the joy and happiness that comes to those who choose beautiful in their own eyes because of their Creator. You know, 1 Peter chapter 3 says, your beauty should not come from outward appearance, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold and jewelry and fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Listen to what God says here. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Do you believe that? Here's another one. The Voice translation. Since you are so much more precious to God than 1,000 flocks of sparrow, and since God knows you in every detail, down to the number of hairs on your head at this moment, you can be secure. You can be secure and unafraid of any person, and you have nothing to fear from God either. I got one point this morning, and this is this. This is what these courageous women did. They shift their attention to Jesus and off of themselves. They shifted their attention to Jesus and off of themselves. And that made them secure. Do you need to shift your attention this morning? Are there challenges? Are there things that just are vying for your attention? Are there issues in relationships that you need to shift your attention back on Jesus? Because not only is that where our focus should be, but that's where we get the faith and the power to overcome ourselves. And let me tell you, some of us are our worst enemy. That critical part of us is unrelenting. It's not satisfied, and it'll never be satisfied. And that nagging feeling of, am I enough? Did I do enough? That only goes away when we focus on Jesus. Because he says, no, you are enough. See, rather than giving people so much power over our lives, we need to shift that focus. Remember, he is alive. And if I'm a disciple of Christ, he lives in me. You know, I think sometimes we need friends that help us remember this about us when we get a little off. Are you with me? We need relationships that help pointing us back to him and reminding us. Remember what he said? I know this has happened. I know that has happened. But remember what he said to you. Remember what he said about you. And you got to continue to decide to believe that. You know, maybe you're visiting today. You're trying the church thing. Somebody said, hey, I'll take you out to lunch. You're like, oh, free lunch, I'm here. Maybe you're confused with this whole God thing. You don't know. Man, I really want to encourage you, whoever you came with, take some time to get to know this Jesus. Get to know this God who cares about you in ways that will literally blow your mind. You know, there's another scripture, the ERV version, Psalm 62. People cannot really help. You cannot depend on them. Compared to God, they are nothing. No more than a gentle puff of air. Don't trust in your power to take things by force. Don't think you will gain anything by stealing. And if you become wealthy, hear this, don't put your trust in riches. God says there is one thing you can really depend on. And believe it, strength comes from God. You know, self-reliance is very deceiving. Sometimes you can think that you're relying on God, but you're really relying on you. You know what I'm saying? We have to be so aware of that and remember, God wants to get us at a place and take us in this relationship to where he took our dear brother Paul. Galatians chapter 2, and this is the Message version. I'm going to wrap this up. Paul wrote these words, and he says, indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. Now, I found out something recently in my gym from a female trainer that I've been doing push-ups wrong all my life. I happen to be doing, what are you doing? What do you mean, I'm doing push-ups. She's like, try it this way. I tried it that way, and let's just say it hurt. And I was like, I've been doing push-ups wrong all my life. I'm a college athlete, and I'm not doing push-ups right. You know, the ego can get in the way. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you, or have your good opinion, and that I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going back on that. When we let go of that pride, I know I can do it. Or we don't ask for help. We don't even think we need help until we realize we need help. And we open up ourselves to just this understanding. It is so exciting and fulfilling, and you will grow in leaps and bounds. No matter your limits, no matter where you are, God wants to do something amazing in you. The way he did with these women. The way Mary was able to not care what the religious leaders thought. The way the other Mary took the verbal abuse, so to speak, from her sister. Because she stayed focused and knew what mattered. And like you and I, we got to keep remembering he is alive and he lives in us. Let's let him live and let's do what he put us here to do. To God be the glory. Amen.